goes to public school and he still wants to serve the Lord. And he got them together, he wrote the parts, and practiced and practiced. He was here at like before light, and you know, he got here before I got here this morning and got all the folks here to practice and went through it. And I think that shows a lot of leadership and a desire for the Lord. And that's just, it's a blessing to me. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We already read the passage, but we're going to be in the whole passage this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And as we get started, I want you to notice a couple verses, and I want you to underline the different things that we're going to be emphasizing this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. This is about King Uzziah. And look at verse 3. We're just going to read 5 verses this morning, and then as we get started, we'll read more. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 3, the Bible says this. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Underline that. According to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And then underline this, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Look at chapter 26 and verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Circle the word till and underline that. Till he was strong. Verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Here we can chart the reign of one of the most prosperous kings to one of the poorest kings. We can chart the reign of one of the most popular kings to one of the most ostracized kings. We can see the rise and fall of a great man. He was one of the longest reigning kings, only exceeded by Manasseh of 55 years. And he went from obscurity to glory and back to obscurity. He died in poverty, living in a several house, and he was not had access to the temple. He had not access to the kingdom and to the people. It was a hospital type house. And like Adam, he was cast out of the garden and cut off from the tree of life. But that only happened when he stopped seeking God. Because as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. And I look out at the congregation this morning. You know what I see? I see a lot of prosperous people. I do. I see a church that God has very much blessed. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now I judge prosperity in my life not by physical things, but by spiritual things. I judge prosperity by my devotional life. How much quality time do I spend with the Lord? Am I worried about money, or am I trusting the Lord to meet my needs? Am I getting fresh manna from God for His people? I judge prosperity by my family's spiritual and emotional health. Are my children close to the Lord? Are they close to mom and me? I judge prosperity by the power of God in my preaching. Is God moving? Is He ministering through me to His people? I judge prosperity by the spiritual and emotional health of the church and the people in church. Are we moving forward? Is there unity in leadership? Are there underlying things that still need to be dealt with? And I find, based on that criteria, as long as I seek the Lord, I continue to prosper. And I find out whenever things start going wrong in those areas, one thing is to do with it. I am not seeking the Lord. John said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospereth. David said, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And we don't like to say that because we always think of prosperity as physical and financial and not spiritual. But the real prosperity is spiritual, and the rest is second to that. Are you prospering like Uzziah? He prospered spiritually and physically as well. You know, I find when you take the biblical principles and apply it to your pocketbook, you can't help but prosper financially. But this morning, the emphasis is on the spiritual, the existential side of the equation. Are you prospering? And we're going to look at four things this morning. Why he sought the Lord, how he sought him, how he prospered, and then how he failed. Number one, why he sought him. Look at verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. Look at verse 15. At the last part of it. And his name was spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Turn and keep your hand here and turn to Hebrews 11. But here's what I want to say. He sought him till he was strong. He sought him because he recognized his own inadequacies. He saw his own weaknesses. How old was he when he began to reign? What were you doing at 16? What was your responsibilities at 16? What were they? Listen, this 16-year-old boy had the entire responsibility of a kingdom thrust upon his shoulders. He was not up for the task. He wasn't up for the job. He recognized that I am not up for the job. And brethren, let me tell you that I don't know what God has you doing in life, but I can tell you this, we are not up for the job. We are inadequate. We are not strong. We are weak. You're in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see this. He talks about all these great men and the mighty things that they did in verse 32 and verse 33. What these great people did. And he says in verse 34 that they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. And underline this. Out of weakness. Do you see that? Out of weakness were made strong. We all know the strength of strength. We know the strength of bulldozers and bombs and bodybuilders. But do we know the strength of weakness? We will never be strong until we say we are weak and we don't know how. We trust Him for wisdom and understanding and what to do in the situation. Can you figure it out on your own? Then you're weak. Can you not figure it out and you need God? Then you're strong. And as soon as you become strong, you become weak again. Why do we not prosper? Because we don't seek the Lord. Why do we not seek the Lord? Because we got this. Uzziah didn't got this. Uzziah didn't say, I have this. You will never be so strong that you don't need to depend on God anymore. As long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. How weak are you? Do you need him or do you got this? Do you need God or do you got this? Number two, how did he seek him? Well, look at verse four with me. 2 Chronicles 26 in verse 4. It says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It began with a heart to do right. Turn to Psalm 127, keep your hand here. He wanted to do the right thing, so he sought the Lord. You know why many people don't seek the Lord? Because they don't care what the Lord wants them to do. They don't have a heart to do right. They have a heart to do what they want to do. And they are not interested as Uzziah was in finding out what God has them to do. They want God to rubber stamp their plans that they have for their life. And they go to God at the last minute with a plan, and out of formality, they ask Him to approve it. But they don't go to Him for their plan. And Uzziah went to God and said, I don't know what I'm doing. I want to do right. Will you show me what to do? And Psalm 127 in verse 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You will never ever be able to untangle you and God. What is me and what is God? But unless it's God's plan and God is leading and God is empowering, you are laboring in vain. God builds the house. God builds the church. God builds the family. God builds the marriage. God builds the children. It began with a heart to do right, and then look back at 2 Chronicles 26. It continued with an understanding in the Scriptures. Look at verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. What does God say? It's in the visions of God. What does God want done about this? Because how God wanted Uzziah to lead was already written down by Moses. And the mistakes of the kings were already written down. Their successes were already written down and chronicled. The Psalms and the Proverbs were already written. What God wanted him to do was already written down. And he sought God in his recorded word. Do you remember when you didn't know everything? Do you remember when problems would come up and you didn't know what to do, so you would go to God and you would say, Lord, I want to do the right thing, but I just don't know what you want me to do, but I know what's in here. God, would you just show me? We don't need to do that anymore because we already know. And you know what we do? We go to God after our plan fails. And after we make a mess of it, then we go to the Lord. We fail at it. You know, the Bible says, it says, to this man will I look, him that is humble in a contrite heart and one that trembleth at his word. Are you prospering? What does God want done about what's going on in your life? In your marriage, in your children raising, in your job, in your emotional health? Are you doing well and prospering? Furthermore, do you know what the Lord says about those areas of your life? What He's already said. What He's already written. Do you know what principles are supposed to govern those areas of your life? Do you? So not only did he have a heart to do right, and then he looked in the book, but look at what else he did. This is how he sought the Lord. Look at verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He recognized the spiritual authority in his life and listened to it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Who was Uzziah? He was the king. He was in charge. But he recognized there was an area in his life he was supposed to be in subjection to, and that was to God's appointed spiritual leader in his life for spiritual matters. And this is important because when he goes wrong, he forgets this. He forgets this, and that's, you'll see, that's why he failed before, because he forgot that. That he was the king, but there were still some places he needed to be into subjection. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe? And then underline this, even as the Lord gave every man. Who is your minister? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. God gave every man a minister. He gave, in his goodness, he gave Uzziah Zechariah. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Who's that? And submit yourselves to them. You can't do that unless you know who that is. For they watch for your souls. This person cares about you. As they must give account. I have to give account for my children. Right? That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Zechariah had to give account to the Lord for his ministry to Uzziah. You know, when you go to church, it might surprise you, but the minister has to give account to God for his ministry to you. He has to watch for your soul. He has to watch out for your well-being and care about you and pray about you and tell you when he believes that you're going off the wrong track. And if he doesn't, he has to give account to God for that. But lots of people go to churches and they have this attitude where I don't need to listen to anyone. I am my own authority. I am the stuff. I don't need to listen to him. And you know what you are? You are a liability to that minister because he has to give to account to God for you. Now, Uzziah put himself under the spiritual authority of Zechariah, recognizing who his minister was. He was there to watch for him, to help him. And if he didn't listen to him, it was not profitable for him. Now, this is not about who wears the biggest pants. It's not. It's about humbling yourself to get God's help and seeking God through his prescribed method. Now, let me ask you this. Who is your minister? Who have you put yourself under because you're seeking God and you recognize that spiritual authority? Now, I'm not saying that it's me. Can I make that very clear? Do you get that? I'm not up here saying that it's me. That's a position of sacred trust that is earned and is not something that can be coerced. It's something that is given. But God gave you a minister. And if it's not so-and-so, who is it? Can you name them? Will you listen to them? Because if you want to spiritually prosper, you have... Who was it for David? Nathan. Who was it for Saul? Did he listen to Samuel? Did he throw him off? Did Samuel go no more to see him till the day of his death? Was that good for Saul? He gave everyone someone. It was Zechariah for Uzziah. You know, Jude talks about people that creep into the church and do the church harm. And it says they have perished in the gainsaying of Korah. You know what the gainsaying of Korah was? We don't need to listen to Moses and Aaron. We're just as important. We are the bomb. We don't need to listen. And it said when they strove against Moses, they strove against God. And if we ever live in a day and age where that attitude is creeping into the churches. Oh, it is today. Who is it in your life? Or are you the most spiritual person in the room? Are you? Who's more spiritual than you are? Who can tell you you're wrong? Who is it? Or are you Johnny Rebel? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. This didn't hinder him. It helped him. They watch for your souls. It's a minister. They serve you. They help you. Do you have someone to help you? Or do you got this? He didn't got it. That's how he sought the Lord. He had the right heart, the right book, the right minister. That's how he sought the Lord. Now, what did that result in? How did he prosper? Number three. If you'll look at verse 6. What was the result of seeking the Lord? What was the result of all of these things that he had going on in his life? What practical way did it help him? Look at verse 6. And he went and he warred against the Philistines. And he broke down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. And underline this, and God, what? Helped. You see that? God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gur-Baal and the Mahanims. Elijah said he wouldn't read that verse. And for some reason, he said, I just can't. No. Don't give me a list of weird names. Okay? But these were the cities. Listen, how did he prosper? He beat his enemies. He became mighty in the strongest army since the king of David. And he took back territory that was not theirs for 80 years. He got back the territory by where the Edomites took the Arabian Gulf where Solomon's navy was. He took that back and now he had access to the sea. And to the west, he beat back the Philistines and broke down their walls and planted cities in their territories. He had great power and God helped him to prosper in that area. Let me ask you this. Who are your enemies? Can you name them? Uzziah, when he was prospering, God said, that's your enemy. You've got to watch out for them and here's how you fight them. My enemies and your enemies are different. Can you name them? Can God help you get victory over them? They're different. Maybe for you it's anger. Maybe for it's covetousness or jealousy or competition or your mental health or laziness or gossip or self-sufficiency. Let me ask you this. Where are you weak? Where are you weak? Do you know who your enemies are and have you chased them out of your domain? Look at verse 8. And the Ammonites gave gifts unto Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. His ministry and his influence expanded. That's how he prospered. His name was spread abroad. He was popular. God gave him favor with the people of God. Everyone was talking about him in a good way. He was a household name. He was on Time magazine. He was the person of the year on CNN. And every time he posted something, he got a lot of likes and shares. He was wealthy. He got gifts. And then look what else. Verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem and the corner gate and the valley gate. And verse 10 also, he built towers in the desert. And let me ask you this. Why build a tower in these places? Why stop what you're doing and go through all that trouble and in that location build a tower? You know why? So you can get up in the tower and you can see what's coming. And God helped him to see what was coming down the road. And you know what we need to do? We need to build a tower. And we need to get in it with God. And we need to say, if I continue in my marriage for the next 10 years, what's going to happen? If I continue with my children this way for 10 years, what's going to happen? If we continue with our church the way we're going for 15 years, where are we going to end up? Because you know what a lot of people do? They make decisions and they don't consider the long-term impact of them. And they're seeking something, but they're not seeking the Lord. They're seeking more people, more money, more power, more influence. And you know what we want? We want more of God in 15 years. We want more of His presence and Him to be more real to us. We don't want less of God. Well, what's coming? Where are you going to be in 15 years? Build a tower. Get in it with God. And see, a wise man, a prudent man, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself up. He pondereth the path of his feet. Where are your children going to be? Where are you going to be? When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, are you going to have anything? If you just continue going the way you're going. He built a tower. What's on the horizon of your life? Look what else he did. Verse 11, he had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands. And there were a bunch of them, weren't there? And look at verse 13. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500 that made war with mighty power. And then here's this verb again. To do what? To help the king against the enemy. How did he prosper? God sent him a bunch of people to help him. You know, a man that is prospering is not a one-man show. A man that is prospering is not self-sufficient. You know, we think that prosperity is getting to the point where we don't need anyone. And the opposite is true. He realized that he couldn't do it alone, and we can't do it alone. We need each other. We'll never get to where we say to the body, I have no need of thee. You know, when we start out in life, we are dependent on our mother. Then we get a little older and then we're codependent. We still have to have them to survive. And then we become teenagers and then we become independent. We don't need them and they get in our way. We are our own people, and God gave us jails and parents, and they're both bad. And then we grow a little and we're like, wait a minute, my parents are here to help me and I can help them and we can do more together. And then we become interdependent. And a man that is prospering has people that are depending on him, and he has other people that he's depending on. And they work together, and it's not a one-man show, and it's not just about Uzziah. It's about us. We're doing something for God together. A man that's prospering is not by himself. He has an army. He's with the army of God. And then look what else he does in verse 14. He prepared them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers, upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows, and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Notice he strengthens those around him. He makes them better. He makes them better soldiers. He has a research and development department that is committed to making better weapons and giving the soldiers better tools. And those inventions made him famous and feared. Are you strengthening those around you? Who are you strengthening? Are you helping people become better? Are you giving them the tools they need to get the job done? Or are you just using people? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper in these ways. Now, what happened? I mean, isn't that a wonderful... Everything is good. Everything is good. He is at a good place. Many of you are at a good place. Remember when you weren't at the place you're at now? And now God's brought you to this place. Maybe some of you are in a bad place, but you're going to a good place. But some of you are in a good place and you're going to a bad place. How did he fall? Look at verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far and abroad, for he was marvelously helped. I love that, don't you? He was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up for his destruction. Not just helped, marvelously helped. Who got you to where you are today? Who did? Who gave you your abilities, your life, your intellect, your brain? Who gave you your job, your family? Remember when you were praying for a wife or for a husband and God brought you one? Remember when you were praying for the baby to be healthy and then you have the baby? Remember when you were praying for the job and you were praying for the promotion? Who gave it to you? Who made Uzziah who he was? He was marvelously helped. Who raised the church out of the ashes? Who put the leaves on the tree and kept them all from falling? It was God. It wasn't you. It wasn't Uzziah. It's not Pastor Bez. It's not Pastor Ashton. But it's God. It was not Uzziah. It was God. And how did this great man fall? He became strong. He became self-sufficient. He didn't need God anymore because he knew how to do it. He wasn't 16 anymore. He created the processes, and as long as you follow the process, you'll follow through, you'll be okay. He lived long enough. He knew he had intelligence department. Now, he didn't need to get in the towers. He knew when the Philistines were going to move. And he had a little boy atomic engine on the wall that everybody feared. So he didn't need God anymore. And just like that, he became weak. And just like that, the important lot left. And just like that, he became an empty suit. And just like that, he was lifted up with pride to his destruction. Whenever you think you're invincible, you think you're not replaceable, that is when you are the most vulnerable. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. He did it without me. He did it without you. And it's a privilege to serve God. His heart was, woe to him. Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. But look at verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He goes into the temple. How do you get in trouble by going to church? Most people get in trouble by going away from church. And to burn incense, that's a type of prayer. These are good things. And how does he get? That is what God smote him for. Sometimes doing spiritual things in the sanctuary is what God smites you for. Why? Because what did he stop doing? As long as he sought what? The Lord, God made him to prosper. Till he was strong. What did he stop doing? Did he stop going to church? Did he stop being the king? He just stopped one thing. He stopped seeking God. Many people are here this morning. You're in church, but you stopped seeking God a long time ago. And now you know what it is? It's just religion. But isn't that the purpose of the temple, to seek the Lord? He made it about himself. Where is your pride hiding? Pride loves to hide behind religious service. A special? A sermon? Oh, brother, that went good. Man, thank you. I finally arrived. Man, I'm preaching good now. Woo! A Sunday school lesson? A deacon's duties? The hours you spend serving God? I mean, I do so much and they do so little. Look at what I do. Does nobody care? Where is your self-glory hiding? You know what Uzziah was doing? He was using God to bring him glory instead of bringing glory to the Lord. And he forgot that no matter how good he was of a king, he was not the priest and God never called him to do that. You do what God called you to do and don't try to encroach on someone else's job. Verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. 81 people. How brave did they have to be? Uzziah was popular. He was invincible. He would win the next election. And they withstood him. And they said, look what they said. They said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee. This is not what you think, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary. Listen, just go. No harm, no foul, just go. But he refused the priestly rebuke and he became wrathful. He became angry. And then verse 19, he had the censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, look what happened. The leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priest. He refused the rebuke. Remember when verse 5, when he placed himself under the influence of God's appointed leader? He graduated now. No one can tell him anymore because he knew better. He watched a YouTube video that the priest had never seen before. There are some of you that are there now and you have no one in your life that can call you out because you are strong. And verse 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out thence. Yea, he hasted himself to go out because the Lord had smitten him. He was the last person to see his problem. It was on his forehead. You can't see your forehead without a device. And last time I read, there's no mirror in there. Is there, Brother Phil? He didn't have no mirror. They saw it first. Is that how you want to live? Like the emperor with no clothes? Everyone can see your faults. Everyone can see your problem. They all know about it. He's the baby. He has to get his way. Don't say the wrong thing to him. He'll fly off the handle. You can't tell them, even though you're trying to help them, you can't tell them anything. And everybody knows it but you. And we all talk about it. I mean, someone got those 81 people together. Someone had to organize that. 81 knew except for him. Is that how you want to live? And then he was a leper in verse 21 unto the day of his death. You know what the sad thing is? The leprosy got him to do what God could not get him to do. Are we so carnal that the only thing that gets our attention is what other people notice? Are we so carnal that the only thing that can get us to change is what other people see? You know what? There's a lot of prospering people in here. There's a lot of prospering people in here. You're in a good place. You're where God wants you to be. Things are good. Your marriage is good. Kids are good. Church is good. The job is good. And God is the one that made you prosper. I've been there when the church has fallen apart. I've been there when the family came crashing down. I've seen it fall apart. God is the one that makes you prosper. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper till he was strong. How weak are you? How weak are you? Let's pray. Let's do some business with the Lord this morning. The altar's open. If God spoke to your heart, you're welcome to come. The last thing that Jesus, or the first thing that Jesus said audibly after his birth was this: how is it that you sought me? Wist you not I must be about my Father's business? You know what he said? You're looking, but you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking in the wrong place. God has a way he wants you to seek him. As long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. Lord, we pray this morning. God, we pray for everybody that's here.